B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a missed call, I think, and it has a big outcome in the game. And they score a goal off it, and that ends up being the game winner. It's just kind of embarrassing.
Did the ref say anything to you to explain it?
No explanation.
So that was Noel Acciari himself last night. Final hour, Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group, BernardiAutoGroup.com, on the web. Felger, Maz, Murray, watching on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, where we beam across New England and the country every single day. We've been showing the headline in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch today. The big newspaper in St. Louis had a big picture of the Bozak trip of Noel Acciari with the headline, "What a trip!" Exclamation point. When you see that, Murray, how do you feel?
Annoyed, angry. It works both ways, literally and figuratively. See, what a trip. We go back out there, we win, and what a trip. Hey, we got away with a call, and we ended up winning the game. What a trip. Yoke's on you there, Boston. You still got to live in St. Louis, that barren hellhole. Good luck going back tomorrow there, Mike.
I'll tell him you said hello and that you miss him.
What a trip. For that matter, they're really talking about the entire postseason. It's been quite a journey for those people.
I thought you liked the Schadenfreude sort of thing, Murray.
Not at my expense in the team. Yeah, of course I'm biased. Well, I'll readily own that.
Okay, so your thoughts on this or anything else from the week? It is agenda free, driven by your calls. I'll go back to the phones and hear from the people of Boston, Maz, unless you have a rethought or anything you want to reset.
No. I have no new thoughts. Haven't had one in months.
Chris in Indianapolis. Hi, Chris.
Hey, I just wanted to say I think where his calls have been more impactful is the lack of them in the beginning of the game, because I think what happens is that allows the Blues to get into their heavy game. That call, the lack of call on Johansson, I think had a big impact on that game, and it could have been a 5-minute penalty, quite frankly. That was a headshot. I think what you're going to see in Game 6 is if the call's probably going to go the Bruins' way early, and they better exploit it at that time, otherwise we're going to be in big trouble. So
okay.
We'll see what happens.
Well, see, and let's see how the refs in the next game respond to this one. Because, again, the human nature thing. Now, there's 2 days, hue and cry, and everyone, not just here in Boston, but the national guys are calling that out, as a bad call. And now the league's hearing it. Now there's 2 days of a buildup. The Bruins got screwed. Just wait. I mean, I think it's a safe bet the Bruins are going to get some power plays early in that game in Game 6.
You would think so, but I'll tell you what, if I'm the Bruins, I wouldn't expect it. It's a bad way to go, because you're just going to increase your level of frustration if you don't get them. You can't go into that game thinking that way. You got to go in thinking, we got to earn everything we get. You got to shake up the lines, mix it up, and do stuff we haven't done to try to get to these guys.
Tommy and Milton, go ahead, Tom.
Hi, guys. Listen, Murray, this is directed at you. I usually agree with you 90% of the time, like actually more than that. But you know what? I haven't heard you say anything about that too many men on the ice in the first game when the Bruins scored. What about that? And that was a charge, by the way, that Krug threw at that guy, Thomas. Oh, by the way, Thomas hasn't played another game in the series. Come on, Murray. Will you please? Come on.
No, today is not the day for objectivity or any kind of rationalization. I said that to start the show. Today is the day to be angry. And if you want to count too many men on the ice, the Blues had too many men on the ice in their first goal last night, too, and they didn't call that.
So that was when they were shuffling on and off the bench right there.
Yeah.
It's a little different than yours. The one in the game one where you had 6 guys.
I still counted 6. I've seen the screenshots.
Inside the faceoff circle. I actually think on the balance of the series, you've got the benefit of the officiating. You have. I think you've gone on more power plays than them. I think that you've had games where you've had a big power play advantage. You had a 4-1 advantage last night, 3-1, if you don't want to,
The balance, yes, I would agree with you. But the last two, since Hammerhead opened up his mouth last Sunday, it's been one big pork fest. And they're not even calling the most blatant of penalties.
You think game 4 was a pork fest?
Yeah, I did, actually, yeah. They missed some things on that.
In St. Louis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to go back.
I think you got your ass kicked that night.
No, that happened too. Again, both things can be true. I can be mad about all of it, but I'm also mad about the officiating, and I think rightfully so in the last couple of games.
I mean, I know if I were the league, I'd be sensitive to the idea that, you know, the coach of the one team speaks up and all of a sudden the calls go the other way.
Yeah, that's a bad look.
It's a horrible look. So, and again, when I say the league, you know, I'm talking about the people that run the league, the executives, the administrators, the commissioner. Like, boy, that guy flaps his gums and all of a sudden the penalty calls go down. I'd be concerned about that perception if I'm the league.
Travis in Rutland. Go ahead, Travis. What's your take?
Hi, guys. I just got to say, horrible call. Horrible call. I hope they make it up to us in game six. Maybe some makeup calls. Go full NBA. Cassie was right. It's a black guy. And speaking of the NBA, I think one person that needs to pay attention is Brad Stevens. I think he could learn a thing or two from these two coaches this series.
About buying calls in between games of a series, and it's just that's what you do at this time?
So it's a good point. I mean, again, unfortunately, it's part of the whole thing, right? It's part of the gamesmanship, is that you got to talk about the officiating. You know how I feel about this. I hate it. I absolutely, positively abhor it. I cannot stand it.
He's too nice for that. He would never do it.
What? Who, Stevens?
Yeah.
Seriously, but in the NBA, you have to do it.
Well, you tell one lie, it leads to another.
I mean,
tell one lie, it leads to another, and you're in trouble up to your ears.
Oh, gee willikers. So totally, like, you know, I just don't see a way around it in that league. To me, there are so few instances where a call is so egregious that it decides a game.
Well, this is what I said earlier. Usually, 95% of the time, the team that deserves to win wins, even with bad calls. I do not think the Bruins deserved to win last night. They didn't dictate the pace. They weren't the better team. They weren't in control of the game. They weren't. So I don't feel like you got jobbed. I don't feel like that call cost you the game. So much would have had to have happened for that. You would have had to score, then win in overtime. I mean, I don't know. You weren't scoring on this guy. And I don't mean just the goalie. Their defense and goaltending have shut you down the last couple of games. And that did not change last night.
No, look, I think the last time I said that there was a major, you know, blown call that really affected the game was the Saints game in the NFC Championship. Like, that was a bad one. Holy crap, what a horrible call that was. So, but that is an extreme case. You're talking final minutes, third down, the team had, you know, all of it.
I'd have to go back and remember, were the Saints the better team that day?
It was pretty even, but that call was would have given a whole fresh set of downs. I mean, it's not apples to apples, right? They ended up having to kick a field goal, and then even then, they still had a chance to win the game in overtime, and they blew it. So, like, I only have a limited amount of sympathy for them on that one. The Bruins are getting outplayed.
Do you have sympathy for them for last night in that call?
No. I mean, for the call, yes. For the outcome, no. I mean, I know that's middling it. The call was bad. It was blown.
Yeah, I have no sympathy.
The call was blown. It was a bad call. They caught a bad break there.
I'd have sympathy if you were the better team and should have won and were in control of the game and it was somehow taken away from you. The way it's being presented, again, I keep saying this, like you were treating this like you were up 4-0. You were down. And you've scored one, you know, at that point, you'd scored one 5-on-5 goal in basically two full games of hockey just about.
Yeah, whether they ignored it or not, or they missed it, the refs blew it. Well, they blew that call.
That's true. Kevin in Swansea. Go ahead, Kevin.
Go ahead, Kevin. I was just calling to say that the Bruins are going to be lights out. They're playing with desperation. Next two games, they're gonna be banging bodies.
You're confident that they are, Kevin?
Yes.
Did they play with desperation last night?
No.
Early they did.
So it was
early.
So was it desperation or were they just on? You know, they played well in the first period. It was a good first period. Did you feel the desperation, to use that word?
I mean, a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, a little bit. I think that, you know, when you're behind, you come out with some extra jump. I sort of equate the two. Like, I thought they looked like a team that still wanted to play early.
Yeah, and then they end up having it beaten out of them. So this is, look, the Blues were the better team, and they have been the last couple of games. So that's, I don't know how you can't be concerned about that. As mad as I am about the officials, I'm also mad at that top line and the big four, as you say, and Marchand and Krejci and Pastrnak and the rest of them. Like, they wilt.
That's
they've gotten it beaten out of them.
To me, the story of the series is the big four, Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak, Krejci. 0-0-0 combined 5-on-5. That's the story.
Unbelievable.
That's the story.
And that first line, they just can't handle the physicality of the Blues. They can't handle it. So,
and as Amonte said last night, they're easy to play against. That is a really damning comment. That first line, the perfection line, the erstwhile erection line, is easy to play against. Woof. That's a tough comment.
I mean, when you look at it, they've had trouble in every series. right? I mean, they got it going late in the first three rounds, but they had trouble at the beginning of all three series.
Want to hear from Monty real quick? Let me just play that cut again because I liked it.
For me, it's just a lot of circling by them, not a lot of finishing checks. I think they're making it easy on the St. Louis Blues. They're easy to play against. They're not going to finish you. And they just want to play with the puck. And if they don't play with the puck, they're doing a lot of circling, a lot of skating away from pucks. It's easy for Parayko and Pietrangelo to play against these guys. It's almost like a night off because you know you go in the corner, you're not going to get hit.
Okay, stop. Almost like a night off. Oy. I mean, I don't think he's wrong. Those guys have had their way with you. And that, to me, is the story, not the non-call. Mike in the truck. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I expected a little more jump out of the Bruins last night, seeing Chara in there, being at home, everything. But they had their chances. Bennington stood on his head. And as far as the Achari non-call thing, like, had the Blues not scored there and the Bruins had tied it up, they were still losing in overtime. They weren't winning last night. It's just the way it was going.
So we don't know, but we do know how the game was going and how the series is going, which is they are suffocating you. So if you think the Bruins would have prevailed there, I think you're taking a little bit of a leap of faith. That's not been the trend in that game or this series. If that penalty had happened in the first period when the Bruins were all over them, then I say to you, okay.
Big momentum shift, right?
You got in the way. You took away their momentum. They were all over you, but that the second and the third, the Blues took control of that game. They did. And then you had a little late push after it was 2-0. You did. You didn't give up there, and you deserve a little bit of credit for that. But at that time, you weren't generating much at that time, anything.
I think really the last two games, the Blues have completely dictated it. The Bruins have not had a lead in two games. I can't say that enough times. That's a big thing. The Blues are constantly playing you even or ahead. Constantly, the last two games. You haven't had them on their heels at all. And, you know, the problem when you get like this now and you're getting the crap kicked out of you is that if they get ahead in the next one, you could see the tent start to fold. Like, they just wear you out. You got to get the first goal or two in the next game if you're going to have a shot.
Jim in the car, give me a thought.
You know, these guys, they got to start skating through the neutral zone hard. They got to start... When they dump the puck in, they're not big enough to get in the corner. They have to come through the neutral zone with speed, pass the puck around, and that's how they've been playing. That's when they were winning. That's when they were scoring. That's what they have to do, I think, to win the series.
Okay. A little bit too much. Maz mentioned it earlier. I really feel it when Chara's out there with these long stretch passes or what, in Chara's case, these flips. You know, I'm sick to death of watching Chara put the thing 20 feet in the air.
And sometimes he doesn't even get it out of the zone.
Because he has no one to pass to, or he can't make that first pass that quick up. And as much of an inspiration it was to see Chara out there, it was just a tremendous moment before the game and, you know, huge respect and all those things. It was great. I don't know how well he played, and the transition out of their zone when he's got the puck, it's like a whole different deal, man. It's the high flip.
Yeah, very ordinary.
And I don't think his players do him any favor. You got to go back to the big fella and help him out and give him a short little exit pass so he's not flipping the thing into the scoreboard every time.
So, look, early in the game, I thought they were doing it. I mean, you saw the forwards come down and get the puck. They were passing in the middle. They were skating it up the middle of the ice. Because if the Blues are going to pinch on the boards, in theory, if you can get the puck to the middle, you should have some room. So, like, you know, it looked to me like early on, I was encouraged by what I was seeing. And then it just deteriorated again. So I don't. There might not be an answer here. It might be as simple as the fact that they're playing better than you and you can't match up.
Back with more after this. There are a couple people who are actually still optimistic on the Bruins. I'll give you that right after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Matt.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's a missed call, I think, and it has a big outcome in the game. And they score a goal off it, and that ends up being the game winner. It's just kind of embarrassing.
Did the ref say anything to you to explain it?
No explanation.
So that was Noel Acciari himself last night. Final hour, Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group, BernardiAutoGroup.com on the web. Felger, Maz, Murray, watching on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, where we beam across New England and the country every single day. We've been showing the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you concerned about this Bruins team bouncing back in Game 6?
No, it doesn't. They're a veteran team. They'll be focused. You saw when they finally recognized the sense of urgency after Charlie got tripped and St. Louis went ahead. They were a different club even. They turned it up another notch. And they had it going really good in the first period. They just kind of they crested a little bit, and then they turned it up again. But it was too little too late for them, unfortunately, on this night.
I agree with that. I still got the Bruins in the series. I think that the Bruins in this game, they were the better team. Mm-hmm. Things went against you, and maybe it doesn't feel very fair. But they're still the better team,
Nobody cares about fair.
They've got to, fair, listen, you're doing, just go and take care of your business. So hopefully they talk about this amongst each other in the room. They move on and take care of business because they got a lot of work to do, but I think they can get it done.
All right, there you go. There's a truly neutral voice. Mike Rupp, NHL Network, and Brian Lawton. They think you're going to bounce back. Rupp still has you in 7. Rupp even thinks you were the better team last night, which I disagree with that.
Maybe in the first period.
First period, you won, for sure. In the last 5 minutes, you won.
Rest of the game, though?
I don't feel that way.
He's going by, like, shot total.
Well, so shots total, it was 39 to 21, I think.
And it's funny, because I was texting back and forth with my buddies while watching this game last night. The Bruins are actually out-hitting the Blues in this game. Yeah, statistically, use your eyes, idiots. Like, please, don't give me that. The Bruins out-hitting the Blues in the last couple of games. This series overall, stop it.
Well, that's odd. They actually did. I didn't realize that. 43 to 34.
Yeah. Did that translate?
No, definitely not.
Please.
Definitely not. They're suffocating you. And I don't care that you had 39 shots. I mean, you might have had even more chances. You did hit a couple posts. The Camphor one, I think, was fluky. The Marchand one was just bad luck. Good passing play with the first line right there. He beat him clean, hit the inside of the post. That, I'll grant you, was some bad luck. Certainly. But even though you had more shots and maybe even more quote-unquote chances, I feel like St. Louis dictated last night.
Well, their goalie was good. I mean, he was good. That's the best game he's played in the series. In the first period, he was absolutely dynamite. So he was a factor in that game. I mean, if he's the same guy that played game 3, the Bruins win that game 4-1.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, something like that. You know, instead it went the other way and he played well, and then I'm sure they got frustrated on top of it. But I don't know how they solved this. I'm not counting them out because I think that the idea of the Blues facing a 2-0 deficit in Game 6 at home and the crowd there waiting 50 years.
A lot of pressure there.
There is pressure there. And so there's going to be pressure on them to win it at home. And then, if the Bruins can just get it going the other way, which is no easy thing because this Blues team's beating the crap out of them. They're not dead yet, but they're heading there.
Okay. Rupp still has you. So there you go. Hopefully he knows more than us, that's for sure. Tim and Newton, what are your thoughts?
Felger, oh my God. Come on. I mean, you caught me off guard there. I wasn't ready. But you got to say that, those definitely penalties.
Well, which ones? Not all of them were penalties that you want. The hit on Krug in the corner was not a penalty. Shouldn't have been.
Well, that was borderline. I mean, we got to agree on that.
Okay.
But to say that the outcome of the game wasn't affected by the last penalty there, the non-call, I mean, you got to agree that at any point, any time in any of those games, all it takes is one rush, one shot, and to tie the game up to win a game.
Well, so you're sort of projecting, though. I mean, at that time, you were not pressuring them. You were not controlling play. It was in your own zone, and you were kind of running around on that shift,
yeah, but it doesn't matter. All it takes is 1 minute.
Well, I know, but now you're sort of, you know, you're willing something to happen or wishing something to happen. If you're basing it on, you know, if you're trying to re-piece together, recreate future events and pretend what would have happened if the penalty had been called, you're sort of bringing something that what, in other words, the tone of the game doesn't fit what you think would have happened. St. Louis was controlling the game at that time. So if that had continued, the odds are very long that you would have scored and then scored again to win that game.
Once the Blues got the lead, I thought they frustrated the crap out of the Bruins. That's what I thought. That's how it felt to me, that it became a really frustrating game for the Bruins once the Blues went up. And then no matter what the Bruins were doing, they couldn't get a good chance.
You're saying it would have turned on a bounce or a lucky play or one rush or one, I mean, maybe. But, you know, so what's the percent chance of that versus the percent chance of St. Louis continuing to do what they had done, which is suffocate you?
I don't know. I still, like, so I'm going
what
with these.
So, I mean, like, they do this. The nerds do this. Like, the win percentage, right? Don't they do win percentages
sure.
throughout the course of the game? Is there a way? Nerd call. We have a new intern. He looks like he's nerdy. Can you go find out what the win percentage was for the Blues when Achari went down at 9-whatever of the third period when they scored the goal? So not after the 2-0 goal.
10 minutes to go in the third.
10 minutes to go in the third. What was their win percentage? Is there a way to track this down?
Oh, I'm sure there is, yeah.
Okay, so let's track it down. And my guess is that the win percentage for the Blues would have been high, and the Felger win percentage would have been higher because just the whole direction of the whole game in the series. They were suffocating you, but I'll take the technical win percentage for the Blues at that time. Okay, but you all think like you've just been robbed of a game you were leading and you're on the way to a victory. You have to recreate the thing to say that you would have won it if you had gotten that penalty call.
Yeah, the entire city of Boston, in fact, the entire six-state region of New England, minus maybe Connecticut, which I'd like to kick out anyway. But that is, you're all displacing your anger today. Okay, the bottom line is...
Right, you're blaming me.
You're getting outplayed. Forget the refs. You're getting outplayed.
Steve and Bill Ricka, go ahead, Steve.
The Bruins have been prone to some embellishment here.
Stop it, Jimmy. Go.
All right. Enough with the refs. I mean, listen, the Bruins are so much more talented, right? But they're being outsmarted. They're getting outplayed by – they're playing just by the smarter team, right? Plus the Krejci and that line, number one line. Have you noticed that they haven't gotten any goals and this and that?
Oh, we've noticed it, Steve. I'm just going to cut you off. I don't know if they're being outsmarted. They're just being smothered by a really good defensive team and a goalie that's straightened out. And some players, the thing is, you know, we just may look back and say this is a bad matchup. You know, styles make fights, and this is just the way St. Louis is built, is a tough matchup for you, and that's why you didn't prevail. But there's some guys who have just been complete no-shows. Krejci, Bergeron, Marchand, Pastrnak. So is that St. Louis, or is that them?
Both. It's both. What I worry about with the first group, and again, let's focus on the first line. Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak. Which of those guys can handle physicality?
Bergeron and Marchand.
Okay, they should be able to.
I mean, and I'm not saying be more physical or hit, but they know how to take
function
a hit,
in it.
Make a hit, right, and still make plays. Yep.
Yeah, so Pastrnak, forget about it.
Now,
you know, you got no shot there. Marchand's 5'9". I just feel like, you know, I don't know what's going on there. He was better in the first period last night, but it feels like he's just getting squashed. And now, going back to the Stanley Cup in 2013, Ty Anderson had this stat. 11 cup games in a row for Marchand with zero even strength points, not goals, points.
And you're saying it's really back to 2011.
Correct.
2011, Game 7 in Vancouver was the last time Brad Marchand had a 5-on-5 point in the finals.
I mean, that is stunning. That is stunning. And so I tell you, I look at it and I say, you know, given the size and strength of the Blues D-Core, they got to put someone on that line that can handle some of that. My guess is that that's what Cassidy was doing last night when he sent Coyle up there. You know, that's how I processed it anyway. I said, oh, they want some size in there. Makes some sense. Except it shouldn't have been Coyle. Why take him away from Johansson? Those two have been awesome. That's the only thing you've had in the whole series, for crying out loud. So the 7D, because you didn't have Backus, hurt.
How are we doing on that win percentage? Don't tell me if you have it. Can't track it down? How old is this?
Shaking his head no.
How old is this kid? You're supposed to be able to zip around the internet and find out whatever you need whenever you need it. This is why we have you.
He looks young.
22.
He's 22.
Perfect. Bullseye. Right in the you gotta be able to navigate this. I can barely log on.
This guy's 22? He looks like he's 9.
Find me the win
That's
percentage.
His problem.
Find me the nerd win percentage. Who does it? I don't know. Stat track, fan graph, whatever. Find me a nerd site.
Chris, you'll find this with Felger. He doesn't know how to do anything, but he wants you to find it.
Yes, exactly. That's what we have you for. I want the nerd win percentage right, you know, at the 10-minute mark of the third period. Simple as that.
This kid looks like he's 9 years old. He looks like the logo from the old Dutch boy paint can.
Here's Murray's update.
What's that?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Bruins scooted around to the near side. Here's Achari down low. He got slew-footed by Bozak. We continue. Right circle now, Perron. Centers block. They score! Nolan Achari got slew-footed. Couldn't get back into the play. The Blues generate the chance and squirt one through Rask. It's 2-0 St. Louis.
This is an obvious, obvious penalty. How this is not called is unreal. It's unreal.
It's going to be Achari who gets slew-footed by Tyler Bozak. Everyone's looking for a penalty. Tyler Bozak, who trips him up. I think he's thinking he's going to the box. Fans are starting to throw bottles and towels on the ice.
The Boston fans are chucking bottles, towels.
Dodge debris.
And everything onto the ice.
I would fine any fan $5,000 per person. Throw him out of the building. Force him to spend 2 nights in jail.
Not a surprise, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what? It's a good non-call. It's a good non-call. There's a battle. It looks like Achari goes to counter-hit Tyler Bozak. Their feet do just get tied up. Kind of incidental contact. Achari flies back.
It's a missed call, I think, and it has a just kind of embarrassing.
It's a penalty every time. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Their player's on his way to the box. It's right in front of the official. It's a slew foot. I mean, it's blatant. It's a big effect in the game. It's the National Hockey League getting a black eye with their officiating this playoffs, and it was egregious.
You can see the official has a clear view of it, a crystal clear view. Again, no call. This was a disaster causing Cam Neely to act like this, and I don't blame him because you work all year long to eliminate 29 teams to get yourself in a position to be 2 out of 3 in a Stanley Cup final. An official blows a call as badly as that was blown. That's just unforgivable, and I don't know where Kelly Sutherland winds up again, but it shouldn't be refereeing another Stanley Cup final game.
All right, Jimmy Stewart's great look at that non-call last night. Mike Milbury calling for Kelly Sutherland to be fired, basically, from the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's not unprecedented. The guys that blew the call, that cross-checking major to Pavelski in the Las Vegas Game 7, they got fired for the rest of the postseason. And then I think there was another one. There was another one that happened. Oh, the hand pass. The hand pass guys got fired for the rest of the postseason. So Sutherland's considered the very best ref in the NHL. So I don't know if it rises to the level with him. It's a blown call. I don't know if it rises to the level of those others. I know you think it does. But so we'll see if Sutherland gets it again. Jimmy's look in there had the St. Louis play-by-play of it. This is Rich. If you hear the whole thing, it was edited up in there and you got part of it. You know, incidental contact. Their feet got tied up.
Oh, yeah.
Now look, this is... I'm all for looking at things from the other side. You know me. But this, even I looked at this and said, you've got to be kidding me. Here's the full call. This is our guy Chris Kerber and the St. Louis radio. Here's their call on the entire play.
9:37 to go in the third period of Game 5. Blues clinging to a 1-0 lead. Bozak avoids a tripping penalty. Perron into the circle. Tried to center. They score! St. Louis Blues take a 2-0 lead.
Well, I tell you what, behind the play, There's an injured Bruin down. It's going to be Achari who gets slew-footed by Tyler Bozak. Everyone's looking for a penalty. Tyler Bozak, who trips him up, I think he's thinking he's going to the box. The Bruins kind of stopped playing. One player did not stop playing. That was David Perron. And as fans are starting to throw bottles and towels on the ice, David Perron sticks with it. It looks like he's going backdoor to Tyler Bozak. It ends up going right under the right pad of Tuukka Rask.
David Perron, seventh of the playoffs, and there's going to be a delay as the Boston fans are chucking bottles, towels, and everything onto the ice. Not a surprise, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what? It's a good non-call. It's a good non-call. There's a battle. It looks like Achari goes to counter hit Tyler Bozak. Their feet do just get tied up. Kind of incidental contact. Achari flies back. And again, it's just he comes up, takes his feet out underneath him just a little bit. In a Stanley Cup final game like this, it's a good non-call. And you're going to see the press box of the Boston Bruins team, and you're going to see bottles just fly. They are not happy. The fans are not happy. There's still water bottles being thrown on the ice.
Okay.
This guy's an idiot. He's a former player. He should know, at least.
Well, you know what? It's a good non-call.
What a tool.
He's a team employee.
I mean, so just, fine.
That's what play-by-play, that's fine. What the radio guys are. I mean, they're team employees, so that's why I say never trust a team broadcaster, unless it's our guys. Good non-call. It was a battle. Their feet got tied up.
Well, you know what? It's a good non-call.
Their feet got tied up?
I mean, again, I have not heard. So go to the National guys, okay, because they're allegedly impartial.
They were 100% saying it was a bad call.
This is the only guy I've heard say that it was a good non-call.
Feet tied up. That's one way to say that. No, he like kicked him from behind.
Yeah, it was a defensive back and a wide receiver running down the field.
Well, but the one.
What was the shot there from Chris Kerber, too? Like when he's talking about people throwing stuff?
I don't.
That's a surprise.
Not that big of a surprise.
Is that a comment on the decorum of the Boston fan? Or
probably.
People are animals.
Yeah, probably. You know, again, because we're Neanderthals, which may or may not be true. But I look, the part I agree with, it's a bad look. It's a horrible look for the you know, the fan base in the city.
Oh, they're chucking stuff on the ice?
Yeah, like you throw crap on the ice when you don't get a call?
There's a great man who once had an idea to nip that in the bud.
I mean, even Neely, I told you, I don't love the idea of the visual of Neely getting up and whipping a water bottle the back of his suite.
What should you get if you throw something on the ice, Jimmy? Someone had a whole plan. He'd drawn up a law to put in front of the legislator.
I can paraphrase it for you if you'd like.
No, I'd rather hear it from him in his own words, if you don't mind. It was so eloquently said.
I mean, last night, boy, there'd been a lot of people in the big house last night.
I do wonder, was anyone arrested last night or cited?
I just think it's outrageous that we have idiotic fans throwing objects onto the ice at a hockey game or at any sporting event. I think the penalties have got to be severe. I would fine any fan $5,000 per person.
$5,000.
Throw him out of the building. Force him to spend 2 nights in jail.
Stop. So how does he get to 2 nights?
He's got a plan, though.
Well, because the first night is the night that you're at the game. That's not enough. You got to stay another night.
One night doesn't do it justice.
No, you got to stay the other, because you're bombed anyway. You don't know the difference.
I just want to know.
You got to stay a night in there sober, which is why you get to.
I don't know how he came up with the numbers. Like, where do you get with 5 versus 1 or 10 or 15 or 20? Where does 5?
He spent some time thinking about it.
Did he compare other laws? And what law would he be comparing it to? But Sarandis had it all soup to nuts.
I mean, 1,000 is a lot. Don't get me wrong, but most people can probably handle 1,000. 5K, though, that's a big one.
This was a time in Teddy's life where he was fascinated by the military complex.
And he was angry, too. I mean, he was taking it out on the fans.
I hate those angry talk show hosts. Go ahead.
Me too.
Throw him out of the building, force him to spend 2 nights in jail, and they're never going to be able to go to a sporting event in Boston ever again.
Ever.
If you throw anything on the ice. The only way you stop that nonsense from happening, I thought it was embarrassing that Dwayne Rolison had to dodge debris coming down from the balcony after frustrated Bruins fans decided that they wanted to throw things at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Outrageous. When are we going to stop tolerating outrageous behavior at sporting events, not just here, but throughout the country?
He has a whole platform.
$5,000 and 2 nights in jail.
And you'll never see a sporting event in Boston again. They'll use facial recognition technology on you to keep you out of these buildings.
That's coming.
Yeah, like optic recognition. You check people's eyes and stuff.
Can we do this one again?
We look at the Boston Bruins depth chart.
Please.
The first line with Lucic on the left, Brad Marchand at center, Nathan Horton on the right side.
Center.
Then Line number two, they have gone with Daniel Paille on the left side, David Krejci at center, Paille. Mark Recchi on the right side.
First
and again,
time
these
ever
lines.
I'm sorry, what are
fluid,
they're fluid, Ted. Thank you.
By and large, this is what they go with.
Yeah, no,
they're fluid
third
now.
Third line features Sean Thornton on the left side, Chris Kelly at center, Michael Ryder on the right side. Mm-hmm. And then the very valuable and versatile Gregory Campbell on the left side can also play some center. I think Rich Peverly's been a good player. He centers that fourth line, and they use different people, including Jordan Caron on the right side. And tell me about the defenseman.
No, so please, don't, Charo, please don't.
By the way, I missed where Bergeron was on these lines.
It's the first time I'd ever heard of these people.
If those lines were fluid, what were they last night?
I think it was a
Dennis Seidenberg has been a pretty good addition.
So listen, I asked you, you're all acting like you got jobbed in this game
and
last
Adam
night.
Adam McQuaid.
Thank you, Teddy. We're good. That we that you're on your way to victory. That it's like you were up 4-0 when they jobbed you. Judd Surratt, really unfortunate final call. Tainted victory. That's silliness. When they were the better team in controlling the pace of play for the majority of the game.
Silly. Johnny Boychuk.
Silliness,
shots.
Teddy. So I asked, at the 10-minute mark of the third period, what was the win probability? Because all these nerd sites do this now. The nerds compile this stuff. And not that I put any stock into it, but it's just like, how do we quantify how much control St. Louis had of the game at the time that penalty happened. And we have a couple different numbers from a couple different sites. What do we got?
Before you even go, can I jump in? When you asked this question, instinctively, I would have guessed 65% because the number popped into my head, okay? I would have said 65%. Go ahead.
I have had tweeted to me roughly 74% by a few different people that found it on whatever the hell nerd website. They've just sent me screen caps. I don't know how the hell to understand it. Don't make me do math. I'm going with that as gospel, roughly 74%.
Jimmy?
Something called moneypuck.com.
I like it.
80%. At the 9:44 mark of the third period.
Okay, so these Fakakta stats. I just do that for a to give you some sort of frame of reference.
Sure.
Of the condition of the game, which was the Blues were controlling the game, and they have taken control of the series. That call did not wipe away a victory from you. You still a lot would have had to have happened. You would have had to score, and you would have had to score again. Against a team that you've scored once against in the last two games, 5-on-5. Other than that shorthand, you've had one even strength goal in two games against these guys. So where do you think these goals were coming from? And, oh, by the way, you're still 0 for your last 5 or 6 on the power play to boot. So where were these goals coming from?
Crazier things have happened.
So it would have taken a crazy thing. Fair enough. But that's certainly not having a game stolen from you.
No. Listen, again, they are where they are because the Blues have outplayed them.
And they got robbed on that call.
So, Murray, the call was horrendous. Really. Look, outside of that guy from St. Louis, you're not going to find anybody to defend the call. Like, I don't think there's any gray area there. But I think that what happens is everybody gets all pissed off and you start bitching about the call. And the reality is you're being outplayed.
Yeah, I know. Both things can be true. I'll keep saying it till I'm blue in the face here, apparently, today. Both things can be true. You got jobbed on the call and they're getting outplayed.
Yes. Yeah, but what's first?
They got outplayed.
Thank you.
But then they got jobbed on the call when it should have been a 1-0 game and the Bruins should have been on a power play.
Oh, they better score first in the next game or they're in trouble.
Okay.
Oh, I'm with you on that. No, Blues go up early in that game. Good night. It's over.
All right. I'll be talking to you. I'm going back. I'll be there Sunday for NBC Sports Boston pre and post with Tony Monti right outside the Enterprise Center.
Have fun with that.
Hopefully they're not rioting in the streets of St. Louis over their first Stanley Cup victory.
And Tim Thomas is going to be the goaltender for the rest of the season.
We'll have the lineup for you, courtesy of Ted Sarandis.
So number two, they have gone with Daniel Paille on the left side, David Krejci at center, Mark Recchi on the right side. And again, these lines are fluid.
It's paella. It's like the rice thing?
Yeah, from Spanish meal.
Yeah, paella.
Yeah, like paella.
So, again, that's Sunday night on NBC Sports Boston. You'll have the game here on 98.5 The Sports Hub on Sunday. That's the deal there. Coming up next, the Fuppets. Kind of a relevant Fuppets from earlier in the week. And Murray's take on Kyrie Irving and Danny Ainge and what went down this week. That's coming up next in The Final Word.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, we'll get this in while we still have time here on the TV side. We have new fresh Fuppets put together by Hardy from the Midday Show.
If they put me in charge of sports, I would eliminate diving so fast it would make your head spin. Inside of 2 years, I would clean up all of these sports. I would start with soccer. I get knocked down. I'd give the red cards to the Euro weenie rolling around like he's on fire on the turf. Then I'd go to the NBA. And I would start handing out massive fines.
It has to be a massive fine.
$50,000 is $50,000. I don't care how much you make.
Not enough. That Tarasenko thing should have been $500,000.
Okay, so now you're all outraged after the Bruins are flopping around. You hate it when the team does it to you, so why you celebrate when you do it to them? I'm not talking about any specific league. I'm talking about sports. Just make me the commissioner of sports. I still want that job.
Sports Commissioner Michael Felger.
I'd be solid in that job.
And we have this. You. Danny Ainge held his first press conference at his big health scare this week, and he sounded really like just a downtrodden, beaten man, especially when it came to Kyrie Irving. So I heard this, and I had to do something with it. So I made a Pink Floyd parody with poor Danny Ainge.
Is the wedding still on?
I don't know. I mean, there's not much I could say about that, honestly, but there's ongoing conversations.
His camp hasn't given you an indication that he does not want to come back here.
I have not received that indication, no.
I've got a little black book with some names in and a bag full of cash for free agents. I've read all the blogs about who I should bring to the Celtics.
You gotta sign Kemba Walker, Danny!
I got gentle Brad coaching his ass off. Got these bitchy team blues. I thought that 13 played like shit and Rozier's a bum.
I sacrificed how Terry Rozier played. I feel like I couldn't be that person.
I've done everything right.
Danny Ainge is the most valuable member of the Celtics.
And all they did was fight because you didn't feel like you were the foundation. That is how I know. When I try to get through on the telephone to you, there'll be nobody home.
You have reached the voicemail box of
Kyrie Irving.
Sorry, please try again later. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
No matter what happens with Kyrie, I'll never regret that. Just move on.
Well, we had two decent years with Kyrie Irving here, and who knows where he's going to end up. Sounds like Brooklyn, now that they have two max slots available after their trade yesterday. He ain't coming here.
Two decent years? The first year was good. I don't know if I'd call this one decent.
Two max slots. Two of them, Durant.
I'd call the tenure a disaster, frankly.
I mean, it ended in a disaster.
Here comes the baseball reporters. What do you got, Mass?
Okay, we're going to revisit Chris Sale's immaculate inning from the other night. We did this yesterday a little bit on the program, but we didn't have a baseball reporters last night. So I would like to revisit the immaculate inning by Chris Sale. We will do that. And more importantly, do you know who's in town this weekend?
No.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
Oh, the Rays. I do know the Rays.
Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's in town. Four-gamer. You got a doubleheader tomorrow. Dare I say that this is a big weekend for the Red Sox? I'll tell you whether or not Alex Cora agrees. We'll tell you what he said when asked that question when we come. When we start the show.
Sox Talk coming your way right now. Give Maz a jingle. 617-779-0985. Just an update, then you get Maz. Everyone have a great weekend. Bruins game Sunday night. We're back Monday at 2 to discuss. See ya.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.